the name of the Lord be magnified. Hallelujah. Come on, let's magnify the Lord. Let's exalt His holy name in the temple of our God. Hallelujah. In the temple of our God. Hallelujah. Let's exalt His name. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken, it shall be done unto thee. Shall be done unto thee. In other words, if you are present when I'm taken away, and if you see the manner of my going, then your request shall be made unto you. If you see me, and if you see the manner in which I am being taken away, then your request will be granted unto you. Amen. Now, what was Elisha asking for? What was Elisha asking for? He said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So, church, what Elisha was asking for is that he's asking to inherit Elisha's gift. He's asking to be the prophet in the stead of Elisha. He's asking to be the man of God, the seer, the prophet, the man of God, the one through whom God speaks. Right? And Elijah made it very clear by this very remarkable statement. If thou see me taken away, then thou shalt have what? A double portion. He asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. But that is not the same as twice of Elijah's spirit. Now, I have always had the impression that he asking for twice, he was asking, I was always have the impression that he was asking for twice of Elijah's spirit, because he used the phrase double portion. Alright, double portion. But that did not make sense. That did not make any sense. The reason why it did not make any sense is that you cannot get a quart from a pint bottle. You cannot get 2 gallons from 1 gallon bottle. Is that possible? Talk to me. Now, you cannot get a quart. You know a quart. You cannot get a quart from a pint bottle. You know, pint bottle is half of the quart. So you cannot, just like you cannot get a quart from a pint bottle, or you cannot get a double gallon from 1 gallon container, right? So if he says, give me a double portion of your spirit, what is he asking for? What is he asking for? What Elijah, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that what Elisha was asking for was that he was asking to be the heir of Elijah. He was asking to be the one who will inherit Elijah. Now, the meaning of the word heir, one, a father died in the Old Testament. Watch this. When the father died and left his property, it was always divided among his children. Now, and the heir, who was always the eldest son, had twice or had 2 portions, while all the other children had 1 portion. So, what it means is that if the father had 4 sons, the father would divide his inheritance into 5. Are you following me? If the father had 4 sons, the father would divide the inheritance into 5. And the elder son would get what? 2 portions. Whilst all the other children, guess what? 1 portion each. If the father had 3 sons, he would divide his inheritance into how many parts? 4 parts.
The elder son will get what? Two parts, which is double parts. And all the other children will get what? One part. And that was why Esau was very mad at Jacob. When Jacob stole Esau's birthright, what it means was that at the end of his life, when Isaac is about to die, Isaac is going to divide his inheritance into three. And Jacob is going to get what? Two parts. And Esau will get only what? One part. Are you understanding me? So, Elisha asking for a double portion of Elijah's spirit does not necessarily mean he's asking for twice. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? So, if Elisha is to inherit Elijah as his heir, it means he will need two things. He will need what? How many things? Two things. If Elisha is to inherit Elisha, right? If Elisha is to inherit Elijah as his heir, it means he will need two things. Now, the first thing is his mantle. Write it down. His mantle. That's the first thing. And the second thing is his spirit. And that is why I came up with the title, The Mantle and the Spirit. Right? So if Elisha is to inherit Elijah as a heir, he will need what? A double portion, two things. Right? And the first thing is what? The mantle. And the second thing is what? The spirit. Now, the mantle is external, right? One is external, that's the mantle. And then one is internal, that's what? The spirit. Amen. But to get his request, Elisha first have to be a witness. Everyone say witness. He has to be a witness of how Elijah is taken out of this earth, so that when people or when anyone is to ask, how did Elijah die? Then Elisha will come in and say that Elijah did not really die, but he was taken up into the heavens, not as a dead body, not in a dead body's, in a dead man's body. But he was taken up alive by the Spirit. That is why he said that, if thou see me, meaning that if thou be a witness of the fact that I'm being taken up alive, then you will have whatever you ask. And oh, by the way, now, the reason why Elijah told Elisha, you have asked a hard thing, is because you can't get a quart. I said it already. You can't get a quart from a pint bottle. You can't get 2 gallons from what? 1 gallon bottle. So it's a hard thing. In other words, he's trying to say, give me what? Double whatever you have. But if I'm to give you double, you can't get something bigger from something smaller. What is upon me, let's say it's 1 gallon of spirit. And now you are asking me to produce 2 gallons of spirit out of 1 gallon. How would that be possible? So he said, thou have asked what? A hard. Thou have asked what? Something impossible. However, if you see me being taken away, it shall be done unto you. So the reason why Elisha have to be a witness is that people are going to ask. People are going to gossip. People are going to say they don't believe it. People are going to say it's not true. People are going to say God killed him somewhere in the corner and God took his dead body away. So Elisha was supposed to follow Elijah. Over Jordan, he was with him. Over Jericho, he was with him. Over Bethel, he was with him. Everywhere he goes, he was with him until the chariots of horses and the chariots of fire parted them out. Now, how can Elisha testify as a witness if he did not see Elijah being taken away? Tell me, how can you be a witness? Or how can you claim to be a witness of something that you did not see? In America, there are a lot of false witnesses. Especially when something happens and they want to show up on TV, you watch them. And they see the newsmen around, you watch them. They come and stand there and they ask them, what happened? And they tell you, and I heard boom! And I saw some people running, and I saw something move in the corner. They can't say exactly what they want to say. Why? Because they just want to be on TV. If they don't see the details, they still want to say something or want to be interviewed to show up on TV. But that is not the case. Elijah said, if thou see me, if thou behold, if thou see the manner of my taking away, then thou shalt have whatever thou ask for. And so when people are gossiping and they say, you know what? Elijah was killed by God. God killed him. God slayed him. And God took his dead body away. Or they'll say, you know what? He died and Elisha or somebody stole the body. Like they said about Jesus. Right? Or something happened to him and he died and his body got lost. Then Elisha, who was a witness, will come and say, it's not so. Right? Elijah did not die. I saw with my eyes. I saw Elijah being taken off. So Elijah is alive. But he is not on this earth. He is alive somewhere. Amen. So after Elijah was taken, the verse 12 tells us clearly. He said, let's read the verse 12, the beginning, the first verse of the verse 12. And Elisha saw it. Just wait there. And who saw it? And Elisha saw it. That means that Elisha became what? A witness. A witness of what? A witness of the whole rapture, or if you want to call it, the whole ascension. Right? He saw everything, and because he saw everything, he was able to testify that Elijah did not die like other men die. But Elijah was taken up alive. Alright? He is alive somewhere. Now tell me, if you were, now death is an earthly thing. Amen? Death, physical death is an earthly thing. If you did not die physically and you were taken away somewhere, are you going to die over there? If you didn't die here and then you were taken away alive somewhere, then after you go to that place somewhere, then you die there? No, sir. Right? You have to die in order to exit this body. You have to die in order to exit this earth. But Elijah did not die. He was taken alive. That means that Elijah is alive. But somewhere, not on this earth. He is alive wherever he is. Can you see that this is exactly the testimony of the early apostles? That were with Jesus. That is exactly the testimony of the early apostles. They gave witnesses of the fact that Jesus, although died, but he rose again. And he was taken out of this earth. Not as a dead body, but what? As a person who is alive. Right? Who is physically alive. And he is alive even now and forevermore shall be alive.
As a proof, look at this, as a proof, that is why Jesus did not depart from the earth immediately after he rose from the dead. He did not depart from the earth immediately. The Bible says he stayed back for 40 days. Everyone say 40 days. He stayed back for 40 days after his resurrection. And if not, and not just that, not just that, he also showed himself to many as a proof. Everyone say proof. He showed himself to many as a proof that he is alive and that he will leave this earth not as a dead man and not in a dead man's body, but he will live here alive as the living Savior. Hallelujah. So when you read the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 1 to 3, it says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Look at verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible truth, or many infallible proofs, by being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. Listen, church, if Jesus was to just vanish when he rose from the dead, if he was to just vanish from the tomb, then other people will come and say that, you know what, the disciples stole his body and they went to bury it somewhere, and the man is still alive, and they go preaching that the man is still dead, the man is dead, sorry, and they go preaching that the man is alive. Because of that, Jesus did not depart the earth immediately after he rose from the dead. The Bible says he stayed back for 40 days. And the reason why he stayed back is to give them what? And many infallible proof. Now, the word infallible means undeniable. A truth that you cannot deny. Now, in what way can that truth not be denied? He was seen by men and women. Amen. He was seen by both those who were close to him and far off. Amen. He was seen by individuals, small groups, large groups of people, by crowd when he was being taken away. Amen. He was seen by some who believed, some who were skeptical, and some like Thomas who doubted him and said, unless I put my fingers into the wound and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Brother, you know what? This saying of Thomas is something that the Lord revealed to me that is very cruel and disgusting, to say the least, coming from somebody who have seen the Savior, somebody who have been with the Savior, somebody who have seen the working of miracles, including the raising of the dead, somebody who have ate together with him, somebody who have seen all the great miracles that Jesus performed, yet he said, unless I put my hands in his side and stick my finger in the freshly, barely healed wound. Now, who would do that except a wicked person? A 3-day wound is still fresh. To say that until I stick my hands in your side, in the wound that was inflicted only 3 days ago, that have not yet healed. It's cruel. It's wickedness. You see, I never saw it that way until the Holy Ghost brought to my attention that, look at this. This is the same spirit of inaffectionate and incompassionate and wickedness that is in the world. It's the same spirit. Until I stuck my hands, I stick my hand. Why would you want to stick your hands in somebody's freshly inflicted wound? That is the spirit of wickedness, church. And that is the spirit that we are seeing around today. People with no affection. People with no compassion. People with wicked spirit. They know you are hurting. But they are saying, I want to stick my hands in the wound before I help you. Jesus Christ, I know I'm preaching. I want to stick my hands on your side, on your suffering, on your pain, before I believe you. It's a wicked spirit, church. If you don't see it, it's a wicked spirit. The spirit of Thomas and that saying of Thomas is a wickedness, spirit of wickedness. Why would you want to stick your hands in somebody's wound? Now think about it. Think about it. Why would you want to put your finger in a wound that is so fresh, just 3 days old, inflicted? You want to open back the pain. What do you want to gain from sticking your hands in the wound? It is the spirit of wickedness. It's disgusting. It's horrible. But people like Thomas said, until I do that, I will not believe. But look at what the apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3 to 8. Look at what the apostle said. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also receive. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to scriptures, and he was seen by Cephas, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present. But some are falling asleep. And that after that, he was seen by James, and then of all the apostles. Right? And last of all, he was seen of me also. And this was Paul talking. Right, he was seen of me also. Although Paul was not an apostle of the Lamb, but he saw Jesus. Remember, on the road to Damascus, remember, he saw Jesus, and Jesus said, "Why persecuted thou me?" And Paul said, "But what am I doing, Lord?" He said, "You are persecuting my church." So Paul said, "There was more than enough witnesses. Cephas, who is Peter, saw him. Then the 11 saw him. Then about 500 brethren saw him. Then James saw him. Then the apostles saw him. Then I, Paul, also saw him." Brethren, is this not enough witness? Is this not enough witness? If this is not enough, I'll give you more. The Bible says in the Gospels, he appeared unto them inside the houses. The Bible also said in the Gospel, Jesus appeared unto them after he died along the roadside, remember? And the Bible also said he appeared to them near the gates of Jerusalem, remember? The Bible also said he appeared to them in the Judean village. And the Bible, I don't have time to give you all the scripture references, but the Bible also said that he also appeared to them by the seashores of Gennesaret. And the Bible also said he appeared to them on the hillsides of Galilee. So upon all these witnesses,
upon all these proofs that he gave them. He gave them all these proofs to show them that I was I, Jesus. Just like Elijah was not taken dead, was not taken up in a dead man's body, but that I ascended up unto the Father alive, and I ever liveth.
Therefore, because Elisha saw Elijah being taken away, Elisha inherited two things. He inherited Elijah's mantle, and he inherited Elijah's spirit. Elijah's mantle. How did we know that? Look at the verse 13. Quickly, the verse 13. He took up also the mantle of who? Of Elijah that fell from him. So he inherited what? Elijah's mantle. And look at the verse 15. The 15 says, and the sons of the prophet, when they saw Elisha, said, the spirit of Elijah rests upon him.
So verse 13 and verse 15 make us to understand that Elisha, because he was a witness, received two things: the mantle, which is physical, and the spirit, which is spiritual. Why did Elisha receive the mantle and the spirit? He received the mantle and the spirit because Elisha was a witness. He was what? A witness. And so is everyone who becomes a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Elisha received the mantle and the spirit, anyone who becomes a witness of our Lord Jesus Christ also receive his mantle and his what? Spirit. That's why the Bible says in the book of Acts, after the Lord died and he ascended, he said that the disciples, they went about, right, and displayed the power of the Lord, the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where did they get it from? They got it from what? Their master. Now remember, when Jesus was being taken away, there were witnesses. Amen? When Jesus was being taken into the heavens, there were witnesses. The witnesses are who? The disciples. Alright? And then later on, he revealed himself to other apostles. Church, I would like you to understand that there are only 12 apostles of the Lamb, but there are many other apostles. Understand that. Alright, there are only 12 apostles of the Lamb. Right, the 12 apostles of the Lamb are those who lived with him, those who stayed with him, those who ate with him, those who were close to him. The 12 who went everywhere that he went, they were the 12 apostles of the Lamb. But when you read the Bible, there are other apostles, but they are not apostles of the Lamb. Like Paul, like Silas, like Barnabas, like Agabus. They are all apostles, but there are only what? 12 apostles of the Lamb. Only 12. Some like John, who had the privilege to lay their head on the bosom, the eternal bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a beauty. They ate with him. They saw his pain. They saw his suffering. And that's why the Bible says that at the end, when God comes, when God comes back at the end, in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he's coming to judge the world. And the Bible said that when he come back, he said that he's coming to rule, judge Israel.
He's going to set 12 thrones. Right? A throne entered the Lord before, but somehow because of circumstances, you let go and you backslided. Today is the day of another opportunity. The Bible says that for if you shall hear his voice today, harden not your heart. For today is the day of your salvation. I want you to know that you cannot have his mantle and you cannot have his spirit if you are not born again. If you don't have Christ residing in your heart, if you have not accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior, if you have not believed in him and asked him to forgive you of all your sins and to wash you and to make you a brand new person, then you cannot have his mantle and his spirit. But today is your opportunity. Today is the day of your salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. This reminds me of some people who were spoken to, who heard the gospel, who heard the eternal words of the Lord. And they said, this year, I will give my life to the Lord. When the year began, a little after the year began, they were gone. One of them that I know very well, at a 31st December all night meeting, this lady had the opportunity to give her life to the Lord. She looked at me in the face and said, not today, but this year I will try to give my life to the Lord. Ever, as long as I live, forget about this other gentleman. He came to church when the church was on Boston Road, and she heard the gospel and she said, I would like to be baptized. When she came to church, she had this oxygen tank and have some tubes all running through the nose and everything. It was scary even to look upon him. But he said that I want to accept the Lord and I want to be baptized. You know what? We didn't wait a minute. We didn't say, you know what? Let's give him teachings on baptism, like I explained to some of you. We didn't. Because you don't know how much time people have. We took him that Sunday right away. At that time, we did not have baptismal pool. We took him to Orak and we baptized the man in water baptism in the name of Jesus on the Sunday. Come Monday, Tuesday, we heard he was dead and gone. He was baptized in Jesus' name on the Sunday. And that very day, the day that it was just one day between his baptism and his death, I have seen so much. And that is why when you hear the gospel preach, Paul said, we beckon people, we plead with people for them to accept the Lord. Dear brother or sister, dear visitor, you did not come here by chance.